I invite you to take your Bibles again and turn to Genesis chapter 41. I want to read about Joseph's promotion. I want us to look at Joseph being promoted. We know that Joseph interpreted the dreams that Pharaoh had, and he was arrayed in vestures of fine linen in verse 42 of Genesis 41, and he had a gold chain put about his neck, and he was given the second chariot to ride in behind Pharaoh, and as he would go through the streets, there would be a servant before him that would say, "Bend the knee, bend the knee." Joseph moved from obscurity in prison in the Egyptian pit. In fact, the word prison is pit in chapter 41. From obscurity to the second in command in the land. And that's the way it's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Those of us who will be faithful in obscurity, being unknown, will astonish those that stand at the judgment seat of Christ, believing that they should be in prominent positions of honor and glory in the coming kingdom of our Lord, because they had those prominent positions now. That's the glory of the Lord being revealed. Those who are last now will be first then. Would you say that Joseph was last in his day? He was. Egyptians hated shepherds. What was Joseph? He was a shepherd. Before Joseph could go into the presence of Pharaoh, he had to be shaved, because it was a shame to be shaved in the land of Canaan, because all of his brethren wore beards. Remember when David sent an envoy to one of the kings that was sick in 2 Samuel, and the king thought he was trying to check him out so he could raid him, and that wasn't the intention of David at all. So what did they do? They shaved half their beard off. And they cut their breeches off so that they were naked halfway down. And so David went to his men and he said to them, "You stay in Jericho until your beards grow back." It was a shame for a Palestinian for Joseph to be shaved. But it was a shame for Joseph to be in the court of Egypt and not be shaved. Joseph adjusted. And sometimes that we need to adjust as well. But anyway, Joseph had many things against him. He was a slave. He was in prison. He was a felon accused of attempted rape. Joseph didn't have much going for him. But the Lord, in due season, raised him up and put him in positions of honor and glory. That's what it's going to be like at the judgment seat of Christ. In verse 8 of chapter 41, it tells us that it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. This is Pharaoh after he had his dreams. And he sent and called all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told him his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. It's interesting how, having devotions, the Lord brings portions of Scripture to you to help you to appreciate what went on, not only in Pharaoh's court, but also, or in this Pharaoh's court, but in the Pharaoh's court of Moses' day. In Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 25, it says that the Lord frustrateth the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad, that's sorcerers, magicians, and that turneth the wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish. The Lord does that. That's the reason why the magicians and the wise men of Pharaoh's court could not help him. Because he had a plan for Joseph. In fact, in Philippians 1:6 it says, Paul was being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Had God told Joseph of the good work that he was going to perform in his life? And did he affirm it twice? Yes, Joseph had two dreams. And dreaming the dreams that Joseph dreamed affirmed God's plan and purposes for his life. And so we see Joseph, the stage being set for Joseph to be called in. I notice that in verse 8, he says, he sent and called for all the magicians. It was a definite thing that Pharaoh was doing. Because it is repeated in Genesis 41, verse 14, when it came to Joseph. Then Pharaoh sent out and called Joseph and brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And that word dungeon is really the word pit. And he shaved him and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. It does make a difference how you dress. It does make a difference. Your appearance. And we need to appreciate that. And it did make a difference in the Pharaoh's court. And of course, God established, the dream established, was established by God, what he was going to do in verse 32, for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, and it became the thing, and it, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, Joseph was a wise servant. And I want to just read a few verses here again from verse 39 where it says, Joseph said unto, or Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed you or showed thee all these things, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house according unto the word. Thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. Joseph had the testimony of being discreet and wise. I don't think that Pharaoh obtained that opinion of Joseph just because he interpreted the dream. I think Pharaoh highly esteemed his cupbearer. Usually the king or the Pharaoh and the cupbearer are good friends because the cupbearer is the one who dies first because he samples the food and the drink for the Pharaoh, and so therefore he is the frontline defense in protecting the Pharaoh's life. He had a testimony. I don't think that Pharaoh was surprised, because I'm sure that Pharaoh knew what was going on in his prisons. He knew about his warden. He knew about what was going on down in the jail. And so I don't think it was just simply because Joseph had the God gave him the ability to tell Pharaoh the meaning of the dreams. I ran across a friend of mine in Chattanooga sent me some thoughts on what we need to figure out, and I was just thinking, I thought these would apply to us in the fact that Joseph was not a quitter. And sometimes our logic gets in the way and causes us to quit. When it came to Joseph and his behavior and his lifestyle before he was promoted to be second in the land, he did not have fuzzy logic. Joseph knew what he was doing. He was trusting his God regardless of the circumstances. And the question has been asked, does fuzzy logic tickle? Well, I don't have the answer for that. Neither do I have the answer for the next train of logic, where it says a bus station is where a bus stops, a train station is where a train stops, and on many desks today they have workstations. Is that where work stops? I guess in front of many computers, that's what happens. They just sit on their hands. And then there's the one that I really wanted to apply. If quitters never win and winners never quit, who came up with the idea of quit while you're ahead? I guess you could say the gamblers came up with that logic. Quit while you're ahead. Well, Joseph did not quit while he was ahead. He was ahead in as far as his father's house was concerned, because he was well favored by his father, and his father made him a coat of many colors. He was well favored in the house of Potiphar, but he didn't quit. He didn't compromise. He was well favored in the prison, and Joseph was in charge, and the warden left everything up to Joseph's hand. In Genesis chapter 37, in verse 13, it says, "And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I." Joseph was faithful to his father. He was obedient. He was ready to go wherever his father would have him to go. He was faithful in duty. Joseph found grace in his sight, that is, the sight of Potiphar, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hands. Joseph was faithful in duty. Even though he was a slave, he was faithful to his master, and he served him. And Joseph, of course, found grace in the sight of his master. Joseph was faithful in purity. In Genesis 39, in verse 9, it says, "There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness?" This kind of dawned on me when Joseph said, "There is none greater than this house but me." Does that mean that Joseph was greater than Potiphar's wife? I don't know whether that really was true. It just simply said that that was Potiphar's wife, and she was off limits for him. He was faithful in purity. He was faithful though forgotten. In Genesis 39:22, and it says, "The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whosoever and whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it." And we know that Joseph was forgotten for 2 full years by the cupbearer who went before Pharaoh. Forgotten. He was faithful in preparation. In Genesis 41:33, it says, "Now therefore, this is Joseph telling Pharaoh what he should do." I wonder where he got this information. I think Joseph was wise in figuring out plans and purposes for the prisoners. He figured out plans and purposes for the servants of Pharaoh's house. He was faithful in preparation even though he was in bondage. He did not let his bondage rule his spirit. And when Joseph got through interpreting the dreams and telling him about the years of plenty and the years of famine, Joseph knew what to do. He knew the next thing. And he commenced to tell Pharaoh what he should do. "Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of plenty." You know what that tax adds up to? That's 20%. That's what the tax was in the days. And Joseph, this was what Joseph said. We need to tax the people 20%. And let them gather all the food of the good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land perish not through the famine. I think Joseph was a man who made preparation while in obscurity. He knew how to lead Potiphar's house and make it profitable. He knew how to lead in the prison and make it work where the men probably had less trouble in the prison than they've ever had before in Egypt. Joseph made preparation and while in bondage. And of course Pharaoh said there's none like under Joseph. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed you all these, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Joseph was faithful. When we get over into the New Testament, we find that God honors faithfulness on our part. I don't care how little the faithfulness is. When God only gives you a cup of water to give to someone, or a prophet, or a servant of the Lord will honor you giving just simply a cup of water. We need to be faithful in the little things that God has given us. We always want the big. We want the honor. We want the respect of man. And yet God says, how does a man save his life? By losing it. And Joseph basically lost his life in obedience to his father because his brothers sold him into slavery. He had no life. He had no future. And yet, God had confirmed to him that he would because of his two dreams. In the New Testament, we find that God and the Lord is interested in those that will be faithful over a few things. In Matthew 24:45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his house to give them meat in due season? Did Joseph give meat in due season to the land of Egypt? He sure did, because of preparation. In Luke chapter 12, verses 42 and following, it says, and the Lord said, who is that faithful and wise steward? Notice again, faithfulness and a servant and a steward or a housekeeper, whom his Lord shall make ruler over all his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant. I want you to notice that it's the same servant that's being talked about through this whole passage of Scripture. It's the faithful and wise steward that when the Lord comes and he finds him doing what his master has told him to do, verse 44 says, of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat, drink, and to be drunken. Notice that that servant can change. You can be a faithful and wise steward or a faithful and wise servant and then change. We change because we think we can get away with things by saying, you know, the Lord's not coming real quick, so therefore I can sow a few wild oats. That's what this servant was beginning to say in his heart. He says, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and cut him asunder, and appoint him, that is, that servant, his portion with the unfaithful. The word unbeliever is really a noun, and it's unfaithful. What happens when we begin to let down our guard? We stop looking for the soon return of the Lord. And when we stop looking for the soon return of the Lord, then we get lazy and lax, and we begin to do things that we know we shouldn't do because we think we have time to get our life straightened up again and getting back into good graces of the Lord. Let me just say this. In verse 47, it says, "That servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." I'm just thinking about Joseph in prison. Do you think anybody got any beatings in prison? They sure did. That's what happens in prisons. That's what happens. And Joseph knew his Lord's will, and he prepared himself, and he was appointed a portion with whom? The faithful. And he became ruler over the land of Egypt. We're not anticipating ruling over the land of Egypt or ruling over the United States, so to speak, but we want to be lords and kings in the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 19, we find the story about a man who went into a far country and he left his business with his servants. It says in verse 15, "And it came to pass when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, and that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, thou hast been faithful over a very little. Thou shalt have authority over 10 cities. It's not how much you're faithful over. It's just simply being faithful over the little that you do, that God has given you to do. And God is going to honor that faithfulness. And notice that he was a good servant. You can't live in sin and be faithful at the same time. It just doesn't work. And being clean and living a clean life and being unfaithful also doesn't work. It's being good, behaving ourselves, walking in purity as Joseph walked in purity, and he was faithful to the Lord. He says, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. Faithfulness on our part. Joseph stood before Pharaoh, and he wasn't reveling before him. I think that is significant. When you think about standing before Pharaoh, who was a deity in the land of Egypt, because he was deity in that, as far as that country was concerned. And what do you do before deity? You bow. Here we find in Genesis 41:46, it says, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph stood in the presence of Pharaoh. I think that's significant. We can apply that in our own life. In Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36, it says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life." Surfeiting has to do with excess. Having too much. Too much money, too much time, too much power. And we can see all of that, how it has corrupted many today. And all of these things are deceitful. Money is deceitful. Riches are deceitful. Drunkenness. Drunkenness has to do with our emotions, our worries. People today are just simply, they have to have something to control their emotions. It was just a tragic thing to see a professional golfer standing on a green, shaking and freezing because alcohol at one time controlled his life. And he was trying to get the, he was dry, he hadn't had anything to drink. And it just was a tragic thing to see, shaking like a leaf. And it was 80 some odd degrees and he had two or three coats on. Drunkenness. The cares of this life. The cares of this life. All of these things distract us and draw our attention away from the anticipation of the coming of the Lord. And you know what happens when our anticipation of His coming wanes away? We don't plan and we do not purpose to be faithful to the Lord, and He's going to catch us unawares. It says, so that they come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. To stand in His presence. Escape what things? I think we need to escape surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. These are the things that will cause us not to be prepared and ready to stand in His presence. May the Lord help us to be faithful to the Lord. And when we are in obscurity, we need to make preparation to stand with the Lord and to rule with Him in His coming kingdom. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28 says, now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. May the Lord help us to be faithful over the little that God has given us to do, and we will be promoted at the proper time. It's worth it. Everybody wants to be in Joseph's shoes when he is in the court of Pharaoh. Nobody wants Joseph's shoes in the Egyptian pits. May the Lord help us to wear the rags of Joseph until the day that we are arrayed in fine linen and a gold chain and a ring on our finger. Father, we do thank You for Your faithfulness to us, and we pray, Lord, that You'd help us to be faithful and wise stewards before You. Help us, Lord, to know that Your coming is drawing nigh. Help us, Lord, to set aside excess. Excess in money and time and pleasures of this life. The drunkenness, Lord, help the peace of God keep our hearts in mind and not the drugs that so many are trying today. And we pray, Lord, that the cares of this life will not cause us to turn aside from Thee, to make preparation for Your soon coming. We do pray, Lord, that You'd help us to be faithful in watching and praying, knowing our redemption draweth nigh. And we do want to be counted worthy to stand in Your presence and not be ashamed from before Thee. Bless the message to each of our hearts today. And Lord, we pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.